Is there any other way to go?
Right.
Than to go that way.
Right.
Talking about going with God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Such a delight in our life to know that we're going that way, and that we can know for an assurance that we're going that way.
Right.
Heard of the land.
I'm blessed.
My mind and my thoughts, I went up towards the eastern shore last weekend and went around and then over to church in Chincoteague, and brings back a lot of memories when you seem to go up that way and you begin to think of the people that trod that way and the ones that have come out of Chincoteague. And we sit there and talked, and with Brother Dewey, I had the opportunity to visit with him for a few hours Sunday, and we begin to sit there and begin to talk and begin to tell about the things that had transpired previously there from the island and how the people had gone out, and it seems to never be an ending story. I love to hear the story, and I love to hear the different versions of how the people tell, and how sanctified people were so diligent, and whenever they begin to leave the island and begin to go out and to preach the gospel. And of course, my mind went back, and a few years ago in my first opportunity, whenever I first got sanctified, the first place I went was Delaware, and Brother Josh Tarr was there. And whenever I think about him, I always think about that song that he loved so dear. And he began to, he sang it, I guess, about every way he went, and it was probably more or less a theme song with him. And those that knew Brother Josh can relate to the song, is you can't do wrong and get by.
That's true.
And tonight, it holds just as true tonight.
Yes, it does.
It is held down through the ages. You can't do wrong and get by. And in connection with that, I thought about several things in the scripture. I'll try not to hold you too long. And I know that anything I would read, that you probably already have heard it, but I'll just try to refresh your minds a little bit. But the very beginning, there in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were there, you know, they tried. They tried their best, you know. Whenever the serpent came in and told Eve, said, if you eat of the fruit of the garden, you surely won't die. And, of course, you know how it was, and said, and she gave unto Adam, and he did eat, and God had aforetime been coming down and walking with them and talking with them in the cool of the evening. And this particular day he came down and he said, where art thou, Adam? Where art thou, Adam? God knew all that had transpired. He knew that the sin had been laid at their feet and that it was on their garment. But he asked anyway, where art thou? And he said, we were naked. You know, that was the thing that brought the division between God, their nakedness between and God. They were shameful before God. And he said, they hid themselves among the trees and the leaves, trying to hide themselves from God. But God knew where they were. God was right there all the time, knew exactly where they were. And God loved them so much, he even made them clothes of fig leaves. God did. So allowed them so the nakedness would not be seen. And then as soon as they went out and began to have children and began to raise a family, the first two young men that were there in the garden, that were there in the land there, Cain slew Abel, and he thought that nobody even knew it, out in the field. He just slew him, and God began to come down. He talked with Cain, and the Lord said unto Cain, where's Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? He kind of got a little bit arrogant with God, you know. God was about ready to find out what he had done. And he said, what hast thou done? He said, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. God knew what he had done. And tonight, if we commit a sin against God, God knows it immediately. I mean, you don't have to go and enumerate the sin. But in the same token, whenever you begin to fall out with the ways of the world and fall in love with God, you don't have to begin to mention every little sin you've committed. All you got to do is ask for forgiveness. But whenever you go away from God, just one sin will separate you from God. But then I went on over and I began to read, and y'all all know the story I'm going to read about David. He thought he too could get by. A man, it says, after God's own heart. So if David thought he could get by, and yet God found him out Why can we think we can get by with whether we commit something against God? God knows the very moment you turn away from Him. And He also knows the very moment you turn back toward Him. But it said that it came to pass in the evening time that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired about after the woman and said, "Is she not of Bathsheba, the daughter of Elah, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messages unto her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her own house. Uriah was off in the heat of the battle, off fighting a war for David, and David had taken this chance and leave and had stayed home there in Jerusalem. And while he was there, God was tempting David, I believe. He'll tempt you if you will just allow it, but don't allow God to tempt you. Don't allow the devil, I should say, to tempt you. And don't let the devil tempt you, because God will make a way of escape. He would have made a way of escape for David, but David was in his heart that he looked upon the woman that he lusted after. And the woman conceived and said, and told David, and said, "I am with child." And now David's going to try to cover it up just a little bit so nobody really won't know what's going on, you know. So he went out and he sent unto Joab, saying, "Send to me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent unto David Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to David, demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how was the war prospered. He wasn't really interested in all that. He was trying to cover up what David had done. He was trying not to let God find out what David has done and the people to find out. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah, he didn't go down to his house, as David thought that he would, and sleep with his wife. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house. He loved David. He loved the war. He loved the thing that Israel stood for. And he wanted to be truthful, and he wanted to be a man of God in all that he did. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they told David, saying, "Uriah went not down to his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why didst thou not go down to thy house?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark." He loved the ark. He loved Israel. Said, "The ark of Israel and of Judah abideth in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I go then into my own house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thy soul liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." He didn't feel like he was worthy to be there in comfort with living in his own home, when all the Israel was off into a heated battle. And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today, and also tomorrow, and I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk, and as he went out to lie in his bed and with the servants of his lord, but he went not down to his own house. David thought he could get Uriah to go down, and maybe he would think it was his child. But he had the one that committed the sin before God. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set Uriah in the frontmost of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." Isn't it a sad situation when a man commits a sin? He's got to commit another one to cover that up. And if he lies, he's got to tell a little more lie to cover that up. And you get yourself farther and deeper into it. Whatever, if you just turn to God and ask for forgiveness, all would be over with and things wouldn't be so bad. So, but we as humans sometimes, we think we can fix it ourselves. But you just can't do wrong and get by, like the song says. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that a valiant man were there. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell of some of the people of the servants of David and Uriah, and Uriah the Hittite died also. So David got what he wanted. Put him out in the heat of the battle, and he said, withdraw from defending him, and let him die in the heat of the battle. He thought whenever this would happen, and he'd go back and take Bathsheba to be his wife, it'd all be forgotten, all be wiped clean. But now let's just go. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And the Lord said to Nathan, you can't do wrong and get by. I believe it says in one place in the scripture, that is whispered in the bed chambers will be proclaimed upon the housetops.
That's right.
And then one time, you know, the old king wanted to know, how did Israel know every move that his army made? He said, they know everything even before we do it.
Surely there's one among us.
My, said, it's bound to be a spy here among us.
Right.
But God was the one that was spying on them. God was telling Israel exactly what was going on. They couldn't make a move without God knowing and telling Israel exactly what was going on. And the Lord said, Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in a city, and one was rich and the other was poor. Now David didn't have any idea. He had nothing that anybody knew the sin that he had committed and what he had done against God. And here comes Nathan the prophet, and Nathan act like it was somebody else. Something else had transpired. Someone else. You know, when you pass, you'd be mighty lenient in passing judgment on your own self. You'd be very lenient in passing judgment on your own self. But he didn't know he was passing judgment on his own self. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. And the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his own bosom, and was unto him a daughter. He's really laying this thing out to David.
Yeah.
He wanted David to see exactly the thing that he had committed.
Right.
David was the king of Israel. He could say to men, come and go, and he could say, and God's going to, well, we'll get down into it just a few minutes, a little farther on. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. But he took the poor man's lamb. My, what a sad situation. He took the poor man's lamb and he dressed it for the man that had come. And David began to be very angry, it says. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Didn't know that it was against his own self that he was kindled as angry.
Right.
And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man that has done this shall surely die.
Yeah.
Can we pass justice real quick on a man tonight? Can we pass judgment on our own self? If we're not careful, God will bring judgment on you if you begin to commit sin against him. And Nathan said unto David, he shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. My, I imagine David's heart fainted and fell. I did this. I'm the one that committed this great sin, this great atrocity against my fellow man. He said, thou art the man. And thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee to be king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And listen to what he did for him now. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and gave unto thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And it had been too little. Listen what God would have done. If it had been too little, I would more have given unto thee such and such thing. Whatever the desires of thy heart was, he was willing to give to David. And yet David turned his back on God. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight, and thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite.
Yeah.
Told him exactly what he had done. He thought nobody knew about what God was doing or what he was doing. But God knew all about what's going on. He knows the very intents and the thoughts of every one of us in our very hairs of our head in them. You can't do wrong and get by. I don't care who you are, or what title you have, or what position in life, how low you are in the gutter, or wherever you are. You can't do wrong and get by before God. God knows everything.
Yes, he does.
And wherefore thou hast despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight, and thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and thou hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Exactly the very thing that David had done, and he thought no one knew about it. But tonight, my dear friend, whoever you are and from whatever walk of life you come, you can't do wrong and get by.
Amen.
There's an all-seeing eye that's watching everything that we do. No matter what steps we take in this life, no matter where it says he even sees us in the darkness of the night, you know. Said men love darkness rather than light because the deeds were evil. And that's what David thought. He was hiding the things that he was doing from God, and God knew all about it all the time. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. God just don't put up with us in our mess in this
Amen.
Life.
That's right.
If you sin against God, you have got to ask for forgiveness. If you go against the things of God, you've got to ask forgiveness. But you know, God's an everlasting God. He's a forgiving God. He's one that loves us. He loved Israel with an everlasting love. We've been reading in that book of Samuel in our Sunday school lesson, and we begin to read there where God began. The people wanted a king. Oh, they desired a king greater than anything. And Samuel went before God and said, the people have rejected me. And God said, they haven't rejected you, but they have rejected me from being Lord over them. And God said, well, I'm going to give them a king and give them the very desires of their heart. And I believe all down through the line of time, God tried with all that he could to get Israel to line up and to work with them, all the way down to where Christ rode into Jerusalem. And he looked out over Jerusalem and he said, Lord, Lord, thou killest thy prophets and you did all the things they've done, but I still would have gathered you as a hen doth a brood, and you would not. And that's the way Israel was. They sinned against God. They turned their hearts against God in everything it seemed. And God would lift them up and build them up. And yet they still go against God. But tonight, thank the Lord, we have a better situation to be in. We have a better thing that we can do. We can have the Lord living and dwelling in our hearts and have the laws of God written in our hearts and in our minds. It's such a wonderful way to go. But still with all of that, you can't do wrong and get by. This is impossible. God knows. You can be down on your deathbed and begin to think things against God, and you still can't do wrong and get by. God requires a holy life out of every man and woman that is not only here, but takes and walks in this life. He requires holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And tonight, I want to leave the message with you. You cannot do wrong and get by.
Amen.
When you pray, mention me in your prayer.